Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Mutt at Night on WEEI.
Hour two, Mutt at Night. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Lot to get to here. No Red Sox. So a full 4 hour show. Rob Bradford will join us at 8 o'clock. Hashtag let us bet. On the state's decision, the Senate's decision last week not to legalize sports betting here in Massachusetts. That comes your way at 7:30. Your phone calls all night long at 617-779-7937. Always available to tweet at me whenever you want at Mutt, M-U-T, W-E-E-I. I thought there were two major developments over the weekend as it relates to your local Boston sports teams. And I'm going to put the Bruins to the side for a second. Like, they're clearly not ramping up and treating these games, and in fact, I think it was Bruce Cassidy who said it, and maybe I didn't believe him at the time, but basically we're treating these round robin games, whatever you want to call these seeding games, essentially like exhibition games. And I can't get overworked about that. Tuukka Rask apparently doesn't have COVID-19. He had a cough. He put that into the app, like the NHL has this app where it's like, okay, how are you feeling? I had a cough. It blared red. Told him to stay home. He tested negative a couple times. He'll be fine. So once he comes back in the playoffs start, I'm going to assume the Bruins are still a real contender for a cup. So I'm not going to overreact to whatever the hell that was this weekend. I'm just not going to. You want to do that, do it on your own time. I can't do that. I will react to a couple other things we saw happen. We'll start with the NFL because we now had the last 24 hours, our 7th and 8th Patriot players decide to opt out of the season. Matt LaCosse, and again, cue the joke, didn't he opt out last year? And Marquise Lee over the weekend. The wide receiver was going to be some big factor on the outside, whatever. And well, there are a couple big names there in Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung. But there's something weird that there are 8 Patriot players, and as recently this afternoon, the next highest team in terms of opt-outs is 3, the Dallas Cowboys. Some teams have 3, 2, 1, and 0. The Patriots have 8. And it's a big development because they lost a lot of talent in the offseason, and now they lost a lot of talent in this COVID season. And you heard Cowherd say it there in the open of the show. Like, and he's right. If your idea was with Cam Newton here, the Patriots are a division contender, can be a home team seed and host a playoff game at Gillette Stadium, I think the opt-outs have knocked that down a peg. And they're not done, the opt-outs, by the way. We'll get to that in a second. And I don't think – I wish I had a great answer for it. I don't think this is tied to Bill Belichick. I don't think it's tied to Tom Brady. But at this point, it's just weird. It's one of these things that just sticks out as weird. That this team, every other team, has had 8 players opt-out. And the only thing I keep coming back to is that Bill Belichick sat down with these guys and really just said, if you want to do it, I'm not going to hold it against you. Just tell me early. Although it's not early anymore. That the, when the they had these players opt out last week on the same day, it really did feel like that was the Belichick speech. Okay, guys, you want to opt out? Opt out early in the week. And so a bunch of guys did, but we have now had more players since then. Now, they're fringe players, not named Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung, but still, it's been another talent drain for this team. And I don't think there's a conspiracy theory. I don't think, as Chris Curtis has suggested on the morning show, that's tied into Tom Brady. I don't even think it's Belichick. I just think the guys that were here, it's like this mix of players that have had real health concerns, and then guys who have had success already and already won and made a lot of money, and then guys who weren't really going to factor in. Like, Matt LaCoste, a good chance he was going to get cut. Marquise Lee felt like, to me, another wide receiver is going to come in here and eventually get cut before he made an impact. And those guys look around and go, you know what? If I'm not going to make the team, if I'm having a hard time making the club anyway, it's not worth the time and investment to try to play through, get cut, and maybe get COVID. So I can see that being a factor. But it is weird, and maybe when Bradford joins us, he's got a better theory than I do. I wish I had some great conspiracy theory about this. The only thing I come up with that's sort of off the reservation is that they've just won so much that a bunch of the guys that opted out, there wasn't that need to play and win this year. Because they can say, look, we've already won. But I think it was a major story. It continues to be a big story because this team is still the Patriots. They are 40-1 tonight in Vegas to win the Super Bowl. 40-1. The same as the Raiders are, for God's sakes. That shows you just how different this year is going to be for the Patriots. Opt-outs or not, it was going to be a different year. No Tom Brady, rebuilding Cam Newton. And so you're trying to figure things out. But now with the opt-outs, I think Coward's right. If you were thinking they were going to be a real contender for the division, I thought it was the Bills clear-cut anyway. And I feel even more strongly about that. Even if Cam Newton comes in here and plays well, it'll be so much to do defensively now to rebuild what they have with no Collins, no Van Noy, no Patrick Chung, no Dante Hightower. And for now, you still have Devin McCourty and Jason McCourty. Here was Devin McCourty on his podcast ripping the NFL for messing around with this opt-out date.
I think it's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked about how many guys have opted out. But it's the same thing when we sign a CBA. Sometimes some of those things that we think are good sometimes backfire. You know, we have rookies who are locked in long-term contracts and tagged. You guys don't think we would love to change that about the CBA, but we can't. That's the point of signing an agreement. So I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league has changed that date because – you guys know Monday will be our first day in the building. So to try to act like guys are making a decision about something other than virtual meetings is a joke. But I think it's something that we go through as players. And when players understand how much power we have, we've seen things change for us. I mean, primarily even with this deal with the COVID-19 and trying to get everything back, we saw some of that strength. So hopefully we'll see how everything turns out come Wednesday if that ends up being the deadline. But I support guys no matter what they decide. But I'm still out here having fun and figuring things out.
And so if you don't know by now, it's Devin McCourty and his podcast with his brother talking about this. The NFL opt-out date was supposed to be 1 week after the CBA was signed. And it's still not ratified yet, and so they shouldn't have started the clock. But the NFL is seeing player after player opt-out. I think it's over 40 now is the number. And there's some big-name players here. You know, the Patriots players, obviously. Damian Williams, you know, star running back for Kansas City, says I'm out this year. Like, that's pretty significant. And I can see from a PR standpoint how football is getting, they're taking a hit because a lot of players are opting out and there's murmurs from other guys like the McCourty's complaining about what's going on here. But he's right about, you know, you're moving it up because of, it's a bad look for you. That's typical NFL, but really it looks dumb and looks petty. Guys don't want to play. That's their opportunity. You know, you're going to have a football season anyway. You're still going to play these games. And so if players want to opt out, they can. But a bad job by the NFL to try to move this thing up. And it was reported it was going to moved up to today or Wednesday. NFL Network is saying now Thursday or Friday as players are showing up. I know Odell Beckham Jr. made some headlines today because a story came out where he's quoted as saying the league probably shouldn't happen this year and he might opt out. Turns out that was 2 weeks ago. He loves how the Browns have handled their COVID issue, and he's fine with playing this year. And so if you're a player, you show up at the facility and you feel confident, you probably play. If you show up at the facility and you don't like how your team's handling it, maybe you opt out. And I don't know why the Patriots players are opting out in droves, why they have eight and the next highest team in the NFL is three. But I do think their success has something to do with it at some level. Like, they have won so much. Some of these players, these veteran players like Chung and Hightower specifically, really don't have anything to prove. Their place is set in Patriots lore for what they've done to help this team win. And even if Tom Brady were here, I would feel like you'd have a lot of these opt-outs, especially the health-concerned opt-outs of the young kids and folks with family issues there. But I thought that was one of the two biggest stories that broke this weekend. We'll get to the other one here in a second. First, though, Tom in a car wanted to weigh in on the Patriots opt-outs at 617-779-7937. Hi, Tom.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm good, Tom. How are you, man?
Good, man. Hey, one of the things that occurred to me when I was listening to you was that when it comes to Belichick, one of the things that this could have something to do with, when coaches have a long run, you hear them say at the end of their careers that, you know, the players just kind of stopped listening.
Sure.
Francona, when he left the Red Sox, famously said that. He goes, yeah, the guys just tuned me out. You know, it was like one of those things, and he wasn't mad about it. But I think all, especially head coaches like a Chuck Knoll, whatever, at the end of his term, or even a Shula, after a while, the guys just kind of, you know, they stop listening. And maybe that's part of this, you know?
Yeah, maybe they're. So you think Belichick could be a reason why the guys are opting out? They don't want to deal with Bill anymore.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's just one of those things where he's kind of outlived his welcome, so to speak. I mean, he's had a longer run than anybody would have in that position. He's the greatest coach of all time, bar none. But I think maybe it just gets to a point where these players just, you know, an older coach, they're just like, you know, I don't want to listen to you anymore.
Yeah,
you
know? I certainly a theory, Tom, that is worth discussing, given the relationship that Bill has had with his players. But you know, Bill was asked in that Zoom call on Friday, and he at least outwardly is showing no ill will. And I'm sure, you know, privately is the same sort of thing. So maybe it's a Belichick thing. But even, you know, I do think it's more of a winning thing than a Belichick thing.
You know, they had to make the decision that was best for them, and I totally respect and support it 100%.
And Bill apparently is not opting out. I know the Patriots tweeted out like a Stephon Gilmore and McCourty brothers tweet where those guys are getting back to work. So maybe this is it for the Patriots. Even if it is, I do think there's a reevaluation of how good they can be given the defensive talent drain and the offensive limitations they're going to have. Like when they have Tom Brady running his offense, you know what the offense is going to be. Right now, either whether it's Cam or Stidham, as Glenn stubbornly thinks it might be, it's still going to look different. You're going to have a higher and a tougher learning curve than you would with Tom Brady. So the players opting out was a big story. The big Celtics story was the way Jason Tatum bounced back in Game 2. And I've said this for a while now, but I think Jason Tatum is, if not already there, he is on that cusp of being a superstar in the NBA. And he came out in the first game off the COVID-19 break, and he was not very good. Shot the ball well poorly, looked out of rhythm, and guys like me watched that game and said, well, when Jason Tatum bragged about working on his golf game the whole COVID break and didn't work on shooting and didn't have a basketball hoop and didn't go to the playground or didn't go to a gym somewhere, what the hell do you think was going to happen? And you start ripping Jason Tatum. Then Game 2 came yesterday against Portland, and he was freaking awesome. And it was the dominant Jason Tatum that we saw during the regular season. A guy that can take over crunch time in any NBA game against the Blazers, against the Cavs, against the Bucks. Well, he didn't do it in the first game back. This guy is right on that verge of being a superstar in the NBA. He gets to any spot he wants to. He gets his shot off quickly. He creates off the dribble. He hits open threes. He finds the open guy. Did a great job of that, finding Jaylen Brown a couple times yesterday in that game. And you can say what you want about Kemba Walker. I know he's being considered like this huge piece. And I love Kemba as a UConn guy. I'm one of my all-time favorite college basketball players ever. Nobody made more important shots and bigger plays than Cardiac Kemba did during some huge, huge, like old-school Big East games. Okay, go back and see what he did at Madison Square Garden in a span of three or four nights. Okay, so I'm not going to say a bad thing about Kemba Walker. He's not the most important person on this team. Jason Tatum being a superstar is the most important person on this team. And I heard Fourier did what Fourier does today. He just takes like a little bit too far. He's like that. Like when you have a kid who just goes that extra step, it's a little extra aggressive with the other kids. Like, don't completely punch the other kids in the face. You can push and shove in flag football a little bit, but let's not go cold cocking kids. And Fourier saying that, you know, Marcus Smart's the most important guy. Like, that's just, it's insane. It's ridiculous. But if he's the guy who's going to fill Kemba Walker's minutes, and Jason Tatum is the guy we saw yesterday in that game, especially to start that game, this team can make a deep run in the Eastern Conference. I'm convinced of that. They do not need Kemba Walker 100% to make that run. They need Jason Tatum on the cusp of superstardom to make that run.
I hate Jason Tatum.
Not sure why that came up. I love Jason Tatum. I love watching him play. Get to the elbow, pull up jumper, good. Baseline three, good. Transition dribble, find a guy open. Open layup or shot for the other guy. I love Jason Tatum's game. He had 9 assists. I think it was a season high for him last night. He got guys involved. He's the piece. And I still think, I don't care what happened on Friday, but Milwaukee's better. The Bucks are better. Like, we did this dumb thing, and people do all the time. It wasn't even people around here necessarily. Wasn't the Celtics, the usual Celtics honks over at NBC Sports Boston. It was the national guys, like Jalen Rose. Oh, Celtics are going to, they're the best team. They're going to beat the Bucks. We do this in the Super Bowl all the time. It takes 2 weeks between the conference title games and the Super Bowl. So you end up, you create storylines. You forget how good one team is. The Bucks are better. I don't care who played or not on Friday night. The Bucks are better.
In the Eastern Conference?
Yeah.
The Boston Celtics.
No. It's the Bucks, every day of the week. The Celtics beating the Bucks would be a sizable upset in my mind. And they could do it, but they would not be favorite, and they would be considered an underdog in that series. But they can get there. They can do it on the right hand and the right follow-through of Jason Tatum. And we can sit here and bitch and moan about Kemba Walker and his knee, and it bothered him all year, and it doesn't matter. Marcus Smart takes those minutes. If Tatum is Tatum and Jaylen Brown gives you what he can give you on any given night, then guess what? They can make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals. There is no doubt in my mind. And watching the way he responded yesterday, when it felt like there was a really good chance that he was going to be super rusty, off the rejoin, and wasn't playing basketball, famously tweeted about not even having a hoop to play on, was over at one of these golf places hitting golf balls every single day. And he thought, well, that's it. When he was so rusty in that first game. Great players do what he did. Come back after a bad game and remind people why you are so good. And he was a joy to watch. Now, the team itself, they made the game against the Blazers way too close. And if not for a really dumb play where Damian Lillard found, was it, I forget who it was in the paint for a layup.
It was Nurkic.
Down three. Who was it?
Nurkic.
For a layup down three with like 4 seconds. Like, it didn't. It just as a brain fart by Nurkic not to kick it back out and find a three. And without that, maybe they lose that game. But, I mean, how could you not have been super impressed by Jason Tatum? And I admit, these games are not, they don't feel like real games yet. I saw Portnoy tweet this out, and he's right. These all have a little preseason feel to them. That was a big boy effort by Jason Tatum. And I'll be in with Keith tomorrow. Maybe we'll argue about this. But I think Tatum's most important piece of this team. I think the way he played yesterday is more important even than Kemba Walker's health. He showed you he still has that game in him. And if he does, they can make a run in the Eastern Conference. 617-779-7937, the phone number on Twitter, 24-7 at Mutt, M-U-T-W-E-E-I. Get a trending, a break. We come back. I want to spend some time talking about what happened last week here in Massachusetts. On the State House, the House of Representatives, the House here in the Bay State, passed a bill that included legalized sports betting. The Senate shut it down. How the hell did it happen? Why did it happen? And what happens next? We'll discuss with State Rep Mike Soder. That's coming up in hashtag Let Us Bet after a trending here on Mutt at Night.
Now back to Mutt at Night on WEEI.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep.
Well, a disappointing decision last week by the Massachusetts State Senate to decide not to tie sports betting into the economic bill that passed through. And joining us here on the Harbor One Hotline, Mutt at Night, our guy, Representative Mike Soder, represents the 8th Worcester District that includes great towns like Bellingham. He fought for this thing. He got it through on the House side, and the Senate said the timing is not right. Mike joins us here on the Harbor One Hotline. Mike, how are you?
Good. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing good. I think you probably heard me rant about this last week, and I know we've talked a little bit over the last couple of months that, boy, I give you a lot of credit, Mike. You fought for this. You got us right to that position we thought we had to be in, with the Senate having an opportunity to push forward sports betting. And they said basically right now is not the time. What happened here, Mike, and how do you view the decision from the Senate not to push this forward last week?
Well, I'm disappointed that the Senate did what they did. You know, I talked to some colleagues on the Senate and asked why this happened. And, you know, everybody, you know, the normal response is negotiation, negotiation. Well, you know, what we're negotiating here is there's nothing really to negotiate. We got to get this thing off the ground. Is the bill perfect? No. And I always told you, Mutt, that we're not going to probably have a perfect bill, but we need to get the bill out, and then we can fix the bill as we progress and we start moving forward. But we got to get these licenses going. We've got to start salvaging and helping not only the economy, but we also got to start looking at ways of bringing revenue into the state that we're desperately going to need. And we have two casinos right now that are hemorrhaging, and yep, we need sports booking to help them. And also, you know, Plainville, you know, we had amendments in this tied to this that helped Plainville also, because they're competing with Rhode Island. So, you know, and being a board of rep, this was a slap in the face. And, you know, I'm hoping that the Senate will get their act together and they'll start thinking seriously about the revenue stream that will come in from this and pass what we need to pass. Do we need to go to conference committee on it? Absolutely. Fine. We can do that. That can take less than a week. Look, if the Senate can pass a police reform bill in a matter of 4 days without any public hearings, you mean to tell me they have to table something that has taken 3 years and has been discussed ad nauseum? I mean, that's what's ridiculous about what they think priority is and what their priorities are and how they operate in the sense of vetting out bills and how we go about approving bills. That's the part that really is a slap in the face. That's the part that I just don't appreciate, is that we pick and choose what we want to do because it's politics. And it's crazy. And we're going to keep pushing on our side. I'm disappointed. The House Speaker helped us push a great bill. I think actually a good bill. It does need some tweaks, and we need some modifications over time, and we'll get those. But we've got to get these licenses up and running. This will create jobs. This will create economic revenue that we desperately need. In a time when we are scrapping for revenue, we are going to be scrapping for revenue in the coming months. We need to get this thing moving, and we need to get these revenue sources in. It's not going to be just taxes and things like that that are going to get us out of this. It's going to be innovative ideas, technology, and this particular economic development that's going to make a difference.
And, Mike, help me out, because you just said negotiation, negotiation, negotiation. What do you think specifically is the Senate trying to negotiate? Because they were the ones who had, you know, over a year to push this thing forward. They eventually do, and now we're negotiating again. So when you talk to your coworkers there on the Hill, like what are the points they want to negotiate and work forward with?
You know, Mutt, it's politics, and I don't think it's anything negotiating on the sports gambling side. I think the Senate is frustrated because we didn't pass their police reform bill, so they're going to hold up our economic development bill and change it, and frustrating it.
Wow.
And that the one doesn't have to do with the other, okay? We got to walk and chew gum at the same time, and that's the biggest problem and the biggest frustration I have with politics, is that, you know, in the real world, we do multiple things. Like business owners, business people, people who work in business can walk and chew gum and do multiple things at the same time. These folks have to do everything and drag it out. That's why everything takes so long. If we're all serious about revenue, we're all serious about funding all these things that we want to fund and do the things that we want to do, revenue sources, every single revenue source has to be on the table. I said it in my speech on the floor, and I don't know if you got to hear it or not. I said it on the speech on the floor. From a businessman's perspective, this is the best business to be in right now at this time, because people aren't going to sporting events. They're going to be staying home. They want to be interactive into sports. This revenue, this is the time where you'll see huge increases and huge revenue bumps. They might not last forever, but what they'll do is they'll get a certain group and a certain segment to try a product like the product and they'll stick with the product. And this is the time to do it. And all we're doing is making the bookies wealthier without the state getting any of that revenue. We're making New Hampshire wealthier by not getting any of that revenue. And we got people in my district who literally have to just drive 5 minutes over the line, put on their phone so that the system will work and they can put their sports gambling bets in. Look, the restaurants need this. Everybody needs this right now. Restaurants need something to boost people coming in, sitting at their tables, having a drink, watching football games or watching sporting events and having their phones and being interactive. DraftKings has a major plan put in place to help those that want the machines, and we're going to handle that segment of that. DraftKings, MGM, they're all innovators, but we're holding them back by not getting this approved. We just spent millions and millions of tax dollars. Towns have given these casinos millions and millions of dollars to lure them in to their towns, okay?
Yep.
Everett needs a win, okay? Springfield needs MGM to be successful. We got too much on the line. And when everybody's talking about jobs and inner city economic opportunity, well, the Senate, I hate to tell them, they just killed it. They just killed that by holding this up. Folks in the inner cities where they need these jobs because they can walk to these jobs, there's public transportation to these jobs, and these are the jobs, these are the folks that are just sitting, you know, now waiting because we can't get to the revenue sources that we need to get to.
And I will tell you, Mike,
it's frustrating to me.
It's frustrating because I'm reading some of the quotes now from Eric Lesser and Michael Rodericks, talking to Mike Soder here tonight as part of hashtag Let Us Bet, of course, a state rep there in the 8th Worcester District, includes Bellingham. And the consensus was, both with Rodericks and Lesser, the time is not right to be talking about this. Like, this is the perfect time to be talking about this, given the financial state this state is in during COVID, given the states around us, Mike, to your point, that are now taking tax dollars away from the state with legalized sports betting. There's never been a better time to talk about this in Massachusetts.
And it's crazy. And all due respect to Chairman Lesser, he's the chairman of our committee, and I respect him wholeheartedly, but he's wrong on this one. And he has MGM in his backyard. So I don't understand it. I don't understand what changed his mind. I don't understand what why he's doing what he's doing.
Well, you said it. It's politics. You know, because it's they politics. Didn't get what they wanted. They want, now you're not getting this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And they don't like that, you know, when it came to bills like police reform, the actual House actually had public hearings and actually had the public participate and voted on it and did what we needed to do. They don't like that piece of it. So I think this is what it really comes down to. And this is what we've come down to in politics. And it's ridiculous. And we're not thinking about the people. We're not thinking about our constituents. We're not thinking about what the people actually want us to do. And we're focused on personal agendas, personal groups that are being the loudest voices. And we're responding to those groups instead of responding to the constituents that we all represent across the state. And we're not doing anything. We're not doing anything to focus on that.
And, Mike, to that end, it's I guess there's some silver lining here, and you can help me out and explain it because I'm more on when it comes to this stuff. I know that the deadline technically was the 31st. They've extended now the current session. So how long does this session go? Is it to the end of the year? And what happens now with the sports betting part of this bill?
It goes to the end of the year, but, you know, the thing is, it goes to the end of the year, and I'm hoping that what's going to happen here is we're going to get to something and it's going to get approved. And I'm hoping that there will be some people on the Senate side that will actually force Broderick and Lesser to move in the right direction that we need to move in. And hopefully that's what we'll do. All revenue streams need to be put on the table. Nobody can stress that more than I can. Economic jobs. The killer is with these jobs is that a lot of these jobs will be created, and a lot of these folks will work from home. There won't be an office or anything like that because everything's computer-driven. And technology is advanced so much in this industry that folks can actually work from home. There might be skeleton crews and processing and things like that that will be centrally located. But the piece that what they're forgetting is it's going to create you know, salespeople. It's going to create marketing people. It's going to create all kinds of buzz, and we need those jobs. Those are jobs that are essential to our economy. It's not just, you know, one particular industry. It's not just, you know, we have a lot of biotech and everything else in the state.
Yeah.
We're not focused on that. We're focused on jobs that, you know, sometimes you might only need 2 years of college education, or if you have 4 years, a lot of these folks can do these jobs. They're going to be great jobs to be focusing on our economy, and a lot of people need it. A lot of people need these jobs.
And Mike, you fought for this from the beginning, and I'm certainly appreciative of it. I know my audience is. What do you... You said you're a border town. What are you telling, you know, your constituents there that thought this was a slam dunk, that have heard for months this thing was going to happen, those businesses that desperately need this? What are you telling them in the aftermath of what happened?
Well, Senator Fetterman is our senator, and he's on board with it, on board with sports gambling, and he's there. And I'll tell you, I'm telling people to call other people in other districts to get their senators to approve this. That's what we desperately need. We need them to start pressuring their, and if y'all listeners, look up who your senator is. It's not worth calling a senator from out of your district. It's better if you call a senator in your district and really push them and get your friends to start calling and start pushing them. The more they hear from constituents on this, the better off we are, because then they'll be forced to make a decision. That's the part we need to focus on, Mutt. At this point, we were, you know, I was telling you all along, we're doing what we're doing. We're getting there. We're getting there. We're getting there. This was a bigger slap in the face to many of us in the House that support it. We represent small segments of our towns. The senators represent bigger portions of our communities. And, you know, my focus has always been on our people and our people who we represent. And the representatives voted for this. It was a good package. It was overwhelmingly supported. And the fact that the Senate did what they did is a slap in the face, not only to the revenue for the state, but a slap in the face to every constituent that they represent, every person that works at MGM, every person that works at Wynn in Everett and the surrounding towns, everybody. And that's in Plainville, especially. We got hardworking folks in Plainville that are there that needed this to pass. And what we told them was, too bad, go to Rhode Island, is what we told them. And the senators need to hear that. Senator Feeney needs to hear it down in Attleboro area, because he represents that area. These are folks that need to stop picking up the phone, getting to your senator and focusing in on them, and your listeners need to do that. That's the part that's going to help. If we can get more and more people to start doing that, Mutt, then we can get this moving and we can get this thing going. And that's what I would urge your listeners to do, because my constituents are on board with it.
Yeah.
Well, my constituents are on board.
And I can tell that. And a quick 30-second answer, Mike, is there a timetable now and post July 31st this thing will be discussed or committed or in the, is it months, weeks? What are you thinking?
Well, where there's two disagreements, a committee has to be formed,
yep.
Conference committee. So we're hoping that we can get this thing negotiated out, that what are we missing in it? What does the Senate want in it? Senator Lesser was the co-chair of the committee. He saw what was coming out of the committee. It's not like this is a surprise. So what did we miss? Was the word "and" missed out of the bill instead of "I"? I don't know. We instead of "you"? We can change those things. I looked at this bill. Look, there are things in the bill that I wish were there, Mike, okay? But I'm a sensible, reasonable person. And sometimes you need to be a sensible, reasonable person and say, you know what, you have to do what's right. And I got up on the floor. I spoke out on the entire bill, because this is an entire economic development and housing bill,
sure.
Okay? I got out and spoke on it before all the amendments, and there were 500 amendments, 2.5 days of debate, late nights from the Senate, from the House. And to be honest with you, it's frustrating for me because, you know, there were things that we should have put in this bill, but, you know, I didn't stop the bill because I didn't get what I wanted. We have to understand this compromise. We're a state where we all have differences of opinions.
Well, I appreciate your passion. It's why we love having you on here to talk about it. We've had you too long here right now. We'll let you get back to your life. We'll talk to you as this thing goes forward. Mike, I appreciate your, not only on this show, but on the floor and fighting for this thing, because a lot of our listeners, as you know, they're fighting for this as well. So thank you for your time, Mike. We appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, great. Thanks, Mike.
That's our guy, Representative Mike Soter from Bellingham, joining us here on the Harbor One Hotline, hashtag Let Us Bet. We'll come back and explain how you can do what he suggested, get in touch with your senator, and some breaking NFL news as well. Mutt at Night continues, Sports Radio WEEI.
Right back to Mutt at Night on WEEI.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
All right, Mutt at Night, Rob Bradford joins in the fun just after 8 o'clock. We'll take you up until 10 on this Red Sox free Monday night. NFL breaking news, Adam Schefter reporting the last couple of minutes. The opt-out date is official, Thursday at 4 p.m. Nick LePan, our producer. Nick, you're one of the NFL insiders here, one of the real smart guys, certainly smarter than Andy Hart on the NFL. What did you say this means for the CBA part of this in your mind?
That they settled on the economics, because I believe that was wrapped into the opt-out date.
Okay, so you think the money is set, economics set, now the opt-out date set.
That's what I believe. Okay. I don't know if it's right, but that's what I believe.
Well, that's good. I like a reporter who says, I'm not sure if that's right, but that's what I believe. Good job by Nick LePan, our producer tonight. So the opt-out date is Thursday. We're at 43 players now. I'd set the over-under at like 50.5, and I'd probably take the over. Let's say 8 more players, or so we'll probably opt out between now and Thursday. As a follow-up to our conversation with Mike Soter of the 8th Worcester District, hashtag Let Us Bet, I appreciate his passion. I thought this was, we've talked to him 3 or 4 times now, certainly the most adamant he has been about the mistakes made by the Senate not getting this done. He made a lot of points that I agree with, so I'm not going to harp on those. I'll just say that, you know, when he was talking about the people the Senate let down, and he spoke specifically to, in a lot of his answer there, with the Senate not legalizing sports betting, you're letting down the potential employees, you know, that could be working at certain places, whether it is in Plainville, Plainridge, I'm sorry, working at that casino with a sports book or Encore or MGM or the jobs that create, which I agree with. From where I sit, you know, they let down the taxpayers in Massachusetts, you know, whether you want to bet or not. And since we started this last year, we're going on about a year of this, almost a year of these hashtag Let Us Bet segments with tons of different people we've talked about in this discussion point now for almost a year. It's never been about wanting to like be some, you know, sports, you know, betting guru and be able to go. I can bet on sports right now legally. I can drive to New Hampshire. It's like an 8-minute drive from my house and bet all the sports I want. It's not about that. It's about having the right to do so here in the Bay State. And the lawmakers here in the state, even after the country decided that you could go ahead and legally bet on sports, and 18 states have gone ahead and said, you know what, you can bet on sports. This state deciding, no, we're going to drag it on and on and on and on and on. That's my frustration. They've had, you know, 2 years to figure this out now. You know, going back to March of 2018 when this was overturned at the Supreme Court level. Supreme Court decided you could bet on sports legally if your state allows it. And this state, like they've done with so many other things, has dragged their feet. And so Mike's right, and I understand where Mike sits as a lawmaker himself and somebody who's making decisions that the jobs and the letdown there. For me, it's about the opportunity for the state to see some real tax revenue and to monetize something that's already been, people are already doing it, whether it's in New Hampshire legally, Rhode Island legally, excuse me, or illegally on some sort of app, some sort of offshore app they're betting on right now. They're doing it now. Let's take advantage of it. Let the people bet. And so I'd say they let down the constituents who are not just the people looking for jobs, people who want to legally bet on sports. Number two is his action point on finding your senator. It is really easy. Like, I'm not very smart, but I went to Google and typed in find my state senator. On the Google machine, you type in find my state senator. The first result, Massachusetts find my legislator. You click on that, you type in your address, and guess what? It gives you an email directly to your state senator. So you can look at it right then and there. So you put it in with the address, everything else. Email pops up for your state senator. It lists your senator and your House representative. Representative on the House side. State senators need to hear from you. If it's something you are passionate about, something you want to see, if you are concerned how your kids are going to get to school with the added cost for busing, and that is becoming a real, real reality, as towns realize, oh my God, we have to pay double for buses this year. And the bus companies realize, oh my God, we don't have enough buses. It's become a real issue. and they need the cleaning supplies, they need hand sanitizer, they need masks, all of it. There will be some big issues coming up. You want to find a new revenue stream? You want to get in touch with your state senator? You can do so. Just type in "find my state senator" right in the Google machine. The first line down is from Massachusetts. Put in your address and you can send an email out. And I don't suspect everyone's going to do that. I don't know how many people can take the time to do it. We're all busy. But you just had a state rep tell you that's how you create change. That's how you get in front of people. So I'm telling you, it is a really, really simple process, which I'm going to do myself tonight after the show. I can promise you that. I hope many people do that. Because I think Mike Soder is on our side when it comes to legalized sports betting. And he's telling you the only way to create some momentum here now and try to get this done before the end of the year and try to get this special committee to meet and talk about this and cross every T and dot every I and legalize sports betting finally in this state is if the state senators hear from you. So find my state senator on Google. First, the result is from Massachusetts. We appreciate Mike joining us, and hopefully some of you folks out there take the couple of minutes to send an email and say, I want legalized sports betting, and tell your state senator that's what you're looking for. 617-779-7937, the phone number, always on Twitter for all your thoughts at Mutt, M-U-T-W-E-E-I. Hour 3, Mutt at Night with Rob Bradford. He's in the house next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.